Okay, we're on page 1050. 1050. Middle of the page. Oh, just on time. Last time we're learning about the mitzvah, and there's a connection between all these mitzvahs. Last time we're learning about the mitzvah, you send away the mother bird. You send away the mother bird, and then you take the eggs. And then, as she says, then the Torah continues over here. Kisivna bayis chadosh, if you will build a new home, v'asisa maka legagecha, you need to make a fence around your roof. V'leisamim damim beveisecha, you're not supposed to put blood in your house. Ki yipel anefel mimenu, lest the faller will fall from it. This is the simple meaning of the pasuk. So Rashi says, number one, from the Medrash, from the Gemara, that a person, you know, one mitzvah brings another mitzvah. Page 1050. Middle of the page. Okay, number one, it says like this. That if you do one mitzvah, then you'll merit to build a house. If you have a mitzvah to build a house, you're going to learn, you're going to have a field, and the Torah says about not plowing oxen, and then you're going to have a lot of money to buy clothing.
Oh, great.
So these are the three continuations that Rashi says. If you do Shliach HaKan, you're going to build a house. Then you're going to have a vineyard. And then you're going to have clothing. So all the mitzvahs, which basically are interconnected. Now, the mitzvah is, by the way, Kisim Nabayis Chodosh, simply means, if you build a house, you need to make a fence around the roof, because you don't want people to fall off. But the point is like this. Number one, it doesn't have to be a new house. It doesn't have to be, if you build it, if you buy it, let's say you buy a house, you don't build it. Torah says simply, if you build a house, a new house. So number one, the Gemara says, it doesn't have to be building. You could buy it, same day. Number one, it doesn't have to be a new house. It could be an old house.
So why do they say Chodesh?
Because the Gemara says, the normal thing is that when you build that in the olden times, you didn't buy a house. They built a house. That was the normal thing. By the way, the Rambam learns, and this is based on the Gemara also, that this is not only a fence around the roof, it actually means you have to make, why? Because you don't want anybody to get hurt in your house.
It's about a union.
So it says, the same thing applies to any dangerous situation. First, if you have a swimming pool, the Torah says you have to make a fence around it to make sure, God forbid, nobody falls into the pool. Or any other thing, tall stairway. You know, whatever it is. So there's a mitzvah. The point of this mitzvah is that you have to do things that people shouldn't fall off. So let's just learn the pasuk from the simple thing. It shouldn't be blood in your house. Ki yipel hanefel. And it's a very interesting expression. The pasuk says, because if a fallen one falls from it. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash and from the Gemara Shabbos. It's a very funny expression. It should say somebody will fall. It says the fallen one will fall. So the Gemara learns like this. And this is a very profound thing that we spoke many, 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 many times. Bottom line is, the person that was supposed to fall, it was destined to fall. So what does that have to do with you? Because good things go through good people, bad things go through bad people. This is what Rashi says. Megalgalan schusay de zakai, good things come about through good people. Megalgalan schusay de chayev, bad things come through bad people, meaning like this. Even though the person that was supposed to, that fell, was anyway supposed to fall, because it was destined from God that he should fall at this particular moment. But the fact that it came about in your house through you, makes it guilty. It makes it guilty. So this is a general pasuk, okay, that a person is not allowed to have any dangerous situation in the home without any protection. Now, the Mefarshim discuss over here a few things. Okay, wait a second.
What's a good example of good people go through good people?
That through good people and through bad people. Okay, I'll give you an example. It's an extreme example. We were discussing not long ago. Somebody, God forbid, killed somebody accidentally. Run to city of refuge, stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. It's a whole long procedure. The number one is destined for that person to die. If not, God wouldn't have made him die. You were accidental. It wasn't intentional. Why do you need forgiveness? In other words, because the fact that this happened through you
on your premises
shows that you have a connection to that aspect. If a person would have no connection to murder whatsoever, in any way whatsoever, God would have never allowed such a terrible thing to happen through you. The same thing, when you get people to do good deeds in a positive way, when a good deed comes about through you, it's because you're a good person, and therefore good deeds come through you. So the Torah says, and by the way, it's interesting, the Rambam learns that v'leisasim damim beveisecha, that you shouldn't have blood in your house, is not the reason for the mitzvah. Because the Gemara says, there's a positive mitzvah, make a fence, and there's the negative mitzvah, don't have bloodshed in your house. You know, bad things happen to people. These are two separate things. Because there's an interesting thing. The Rambam says that you don't count the reason for a mitzvah, you don't count the reason for the mitzvah as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam, when he mentions the 613 mitzvah, he enumerates them, he says the reason of the mitzvah cannot be counted as a separate mitzvah. Yet here, they're counted as two separate mitzvahs, even according to the Rambam. Okay. And in fact, when a person builds this fence, the Rambam says you make a bracha. And yet the Rambam himself says that things that you do for danger, you don't make a bracha on. Things that you do to stop danger, you don't make a bracha on. But here the Rambam says you do make a bracha. When a person puts up a fence, not everybody agrees with the Rambam, but the Rambam says you make a bracha because it's a positive mitzvah. So according to the Rambam, it's not only a dangerous situation. There's a concept, and I'll explain in a deeper sense what this means. You build a new home, or you buy a new house, or buy a house, period, you need to have a fence on the roof. Okay? Now, why is the Torah discussing this? If the halacha is, even if it's not a new house, and even if you didn't build it, you buy it, you still need to have a fence. What's the Torah saying? So the Torah is speaking in a general way to somebody getting married, and the Torah is speaking to every individual Jew. And I'll explain how it works in a second. The concept of chodosh, new, means it's a new. In fact, I'll give you an example. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi didn't call his wife his wife. He said, Me'ayim le'karasi ish te'ishi ele beisi. He called his wife his house. He called his wife his house. He didn't call her my wife. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Shabbos of Rabbi Yossi said, I never called my wife, I always called her my house. Simply means because she was the foundation of the home and out of respect to her. But bias represents, I'm going to talk about marriage and then I'm going to get into how it applies to every day, every person. So the Rebbe has a whole long sikh about this whole thing and he says like this. When a person gets married, it's called chatan, right? Now chatan, the Zayar says, comes from the word Nechos Darga, going down. It's a descent. Why? So let's take a classic example. This applies to everybody. Let's say you have a yeshiva boy sitting and learning, right? No worries. He doesn't have to worry about making a living. He doesn't have to worry about a family. He doesn't have to worry about diapers. He's good. Now he wants to get married. So the learning is not there as much. Now he has to have a livelihood, and he has a family to take care of, and he has to spend time with them. It's not the same level. So it's called going down. That's what it says in the Zohar. Chatan, getting married, is nechayz darg. It's lowering to a lower level.
Why?
One second. But the purpose of that lowering the level is to reach a higher level. Like we said many times, in business, you need to waste money to make money.
Exactly.
And wasting means you invest money. I'm spending money, right? But the purpose is not to invest $1,000 and make $900. You're a lousy businessman. And for that matter, the Gemara says, if you invest $1,000, or the Gemara says, you buy something for $100, and you sell it for $100, you're not called a businessman. Right? So if you invest $1,000, it's to make $10,000. Right? Or whatever it is. But you don't invest $1,000 to make $1,000 or $500. I mean, that's not a businessman. So anytime there's a descent, it's for the sake of reaching a higher level. Okay, like we learned, in all things, you want to jump forward, you have to step back. You want to pick something up, you have to bend down. I mean, all the times you bend down to pick something up. So it says like this, Kisiv Nabayis Chodesh, when a person, let's say, is going down to get married, which in a spiritual sense is a level of going down, and for him, it's a Chodesh, it's a new type of work. It's not something they were accustomed to. The Torah says, "Vasisa marka lagagach." You need to make a fence. Meaning, you have to make sure that this new work, worshipping of Hashem, this new style of worshipping God, doesn't ruin you. You need to protect yourself. And in fact, it's even brought down, this refers to somebody even studying Torah. The gag, which is the roof, represents the highest part of the house, right? There's the roof. So in the person, it's their intellect. The seichel is the highest part of the person. But sometimes, when a person becomes smart and they learn a lot, it can cause ego. So the Torah says you need to fence it. You need to fence your roof, meaning your intellect, that it shouldn't God forbid you shouldn't fall down. Because sometimes the ego can kill the person. You know, I'm better than you, I'm greater than you, and I'm smarter than you, whatever it may be. So the Torah is speaking now in a general way. Kisim Nabayas Chodesh, first of all, when somebody gets married, or that level, then you need to know, you need to protect yourself, that you shouldn't get hurt in the descent. Or this applies to every day, to every single Jew. Every single Jew in their own way. For instance, a Jew, let's say, gets up in the morning, they put on tefillin, they daven, okay. Now they're going into the business world. Right? They're going into the business world. It's a descent. You see all type of garbage out there. It's not in the four walls of a shul, yeshiva, you know, where it's all holy. Or it's supposed to be holy. So the Torah says, whenever a Jew goes to a new place, and for a Jew, business, if you think about it, business is a new place. It's not where a Jew belongs. Jew doesn't belong in the world. The Jew belongs in godliness. But God says you need to go out into the world. That's what I want. I don't want you to be a yeshiva boy your whole life. I want you to get married. I want you to go out into the world. I want you to work. I want you to make a living. And with that money, you know, live like a Jew. So the Torah says anytime you build a new house, a new way of doing things, you need to have protection. In other words, the Torah says, based on a practical level, you go out into the world every day, into the business world, into the jungle out there, as everybody calls it, the jungle, you need to make a fence around it. You need to make a protection that you're protected. And this we find even in Chumash, we learned this many times. Yaakov Avinu, and this is where we learn it out from, by the way, the concept. When Yaakov Avinu was, when the Yitzchok's, he left Yitzchok's house to Lavan, to find, he went to find one wife, he ended up with four. He got a bonus deal.
Four for one.
It says, he had his dream. Yeah, so he took the stones, and he put it around his head. That's what it says, the stones around the head. And Rashi says, to protect him from the wild beasts. That's what Rashi says. So the obvious question is, trust me, if you protect your head and your heart, and the rest of your body is open, you're not protected from the lions and the tigers and whoever it is. The Torah says that Yosim and Ashes, if you put it around his head, that's not going to protect him. So the Rebbe explains again in the same point over here. Yaakov Avinu knew he was going to Lavan's house, a swindler, a thief, a liar. He's going there to work. He's going to get married and build a Jewish home. from where Yaakov was 14 years straight, non-stop learning in Shem Ve'Aver, and the way to Lavan. So Yaakov Avinu knew, I need protection. I need protection from the jungle out there. Not the physical animals. I need protection. So Yaakov Avinu says, what needs to be protected? My roof. My head. My head needs to be protected from the stones, with the stones of Torah, meaning that's what a Jew needs to protect. And in fact, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos quotes a pasuk that says, Yegia kapecha kiseichel, if you eat from the work of your hands, Yegia kapecha, the work of your hands, Ashrecha v'teivlach, you're fortunate, it's good. And the Gemara, the Mishnah says, it's fortunate if you're in this world, it's good for you in the world to come. But it's interesting. It says, the work of your hand. Now, obviously, if you're in business, you need to work with your head. You can't just work with your hands. I mean, you can't run a business without involved in business. But what it means is, as the expression goes, Yegia kapecha v'lo rashecha. It has to be your hands in the business, not your head. Again, not to work in, with the head in business. The goal. Where is my head really at? What is the purpose of it? What is the goal of it? That has to be in godliness. My hands, yeah, my hands, that's in the business. It doesn't mean not to, obviously you have to use your head in business. But it means where is the focus, where is the goal, where is my purpose in life? Not in the work, but rather in being able to live like a Jew with a family, living like a Jew. Okay. So this is what the Torah says. A person always needs to be protected. That you shouldn't shed blood, you shouldn't kill your soul, you shouldn't kill your Judaism, you shouldn't kill what life is all about. And therefore the Torah says this is what you need to protect.
Don't watch television.
We'll leave that.
It's true. It spoils your mind.
So does everything else in the world.
True.
Okay, next pasuk. Le'sizra karmacho kelayim. You're not allowed to plant your vineyard with a mixture. And Rashi says, what does this mitzvah mean? It's forbidden to plant vines with wheat. And if you do, it's called klaya kerem. Not only do you get a sin planting it, not only can you not eat it, but you can't even benefit from it. Not in biblical terms.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, why would someone combine those
two? Oh, they used to do it a lot. But not only that, it's not only that. In halacha, if you have a vine,
mm-hmm.
and you want to plant, let's say you have a multi-tasked field, whatever. You have to have a separation, actually, between the vines and the wheat. Mm-hmm. You need a mechitza, and you need X amount of space in between the two. There'll be a wall. Okay? And a lot of times they would do it for whatever reason. They're next to each other. So if somebody did it, I mean, there's a lot of dinim over here. There's five mixtures that the Torah forbids. We're gonna see in the second part of them. For instance, you're not allowed to mix, wool and linen, that we're soon gonna see. You're not allowed to mate two animals. You're not allowed to plow, as we're soon going to learn, with an ox and a donkey. You're not allowed to wear, you can't graft a tree with another tree. You can't graft certain types of zrum. Certain we'll learn that certain things apply only in Israel, not in Chutzlar. There's a lot of dinim, but what applies all over the place, biblically, by the way, the wheat, vines and wheat is only biblically forbidden there to throw, but it's forbidden rabbinically outside of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to learn the details now. But the Torah says like this, you can't plant your karmacha, your vineyard kalayim, and it says like this, pentigdash, and here it is, in the English you're going to say, basically it becomes forbidden, Hamaleya zer, the growth of seed that you plant, utvoras karim, and the produce of the vineyard. In other words, like this. If you do, the Torah says, pentigdash. Here the word tigdash, which is really kedusha, means forbidden. And this is a very interesting concept. We learned about it a long time ago with different psukim. There's a Hebrew word that's called kadosh. Kuf dalachin. Yeah? Normally, if you ask somebody, what does the word kedusha, kadosh mean? They'll tell you, it means holiness. Right? That's not the correct definition, by the way. We say it means holy, but it's not the real definition of the word. Because here you have the word pentigdash, lest it becomes forbidden. Kedusha means forbidden. In Torah, a prostitute is called kedesha, which is the same word as kedusha, the same letters, just different vowels. So how does this word of kedusha come to prostitution? How does it come to be something forbidden? How does it all this come to this? So the truth of the matter is, the word kodesh actually in Hebrew means separated. That's what the real definition of the word, the root, kuv dalachin kadosh, means separated. Now, separated means off the norm. Okay? You have the normal path. Anything separated from it, like we learned in the Maimon Shtus, right? Turning. You can have separated above normal, and you can have separated below normal. But the real definition of the word kadosh does not mean holy. In our circles, we say kedusha, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. All means holy, holy, holy. But the true definition means it's separated. Holiness is separated from the world. Because the world is not holy. Something like this is holy, right? You can't take it into a bathroom, falls on the floor, you have to kiss it, and so on and so forth. Why? Because it's separated from the norm. A regular book that's not Torah book, it's normal. If it's a book with idolatry, forbidden things, then it's separated for evil. Then it's a forbidden book. But the Torah says over here, you see the interesting expression. Here the Torah says, pentigdash, because if you plant the vineyard with the wheat together, then it becomes forbidden. But the Torah doesn't use the word asur, the Torah uses the word pentigdash. It's going to become that forbidden.
So you cannot eat it?
No, now you can benefit from it either.
Benefit from it.
You can't sell it. You can't give it as a gift. In fact, the Ramban writes over here, the reason, even though this din was already mentioned in Chumash Vayikra, in the book of Vayikra, the Torah repeats it again to say, Pentigdash, that not only you can't eat it, you can't even benefit from it. That's how strong, you know, pig, you can't eat, but you can benefit from it. This is so strict, you can't even, and what's a unique thing over here, we'll see in the next few mitzvahs, wheat is okay. Vine is okay. Grapes are okay. You put them together, it becomes treif. And these next few mitzvahs, we're going to see all of them. Wool and linen. Wool is allowed. Linen is allowed. You put wool and linen together in the same garment, it becomes forbidden. Here it doesn't talk about meat and milk, but the same concept. Meat is kosher, milk is kosher. You put them together, it becomes treif. So these are basically, even though we'll soon learn the reasons for them, there are reasons given, but officially these are the illogical mitzvahs of the Torah. We don't understand why God said it, and this is it. God said to do it, and
we do it.
Okay, next. Leisachrish b'shar uvechamer yachtov. You're not allowed to plow with an axe and a donkey together. Now, what Rashi says, the truth is, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, any two species of animals you can't. Okay? And the same thing to carry any load, you can't do two animals together. Now, over here, the commentators explain, the Daske Maltesa says, even again, these are illogical mitzvahs, but he gives a reason for it. An ox, because it's a kosher animal, chews its cud. It keeps eating. A donkey doesn't chew its cud. It's a non-kosher animal. The Torah says, can you imagine? One animal looks like he's always eating, and the donkey is not always eating. So it's torture for the donkey to be plowing together with an ox. And the Torah says, because of that, that's what Daskin Balatesa says. Other Mephoshim say different reasons, but okay, anytime okay, another reason some Mephoshim say because a donkey is not as strong as an ox, and therefore the ox is going to be working more, and the donkey is not going to be able to catch up. A bunch of reasons. When one animal sees another different type of animal, it's in pain. And again, the reason that we said also because this chews its cud, this doesn't chew its cud. It's all things, but it's only, by the way, if they're tied together, like a plow where you plow them both together. If they're not, some people say you can ride on a dog next to a horse, and some people say you can't do that either.
They didn't have communicate also.
Excuse me, let's go back to the word kadosh.
By the way, 1 second. It means over here, the fact that the Torah says do it, it says that yachta, meaning even if, let's say, an ox and a donkey are hooked up, you don't even do it. And you yell, and they move, you're getting a sin for causing them to move together.
If they're tied together.
Right. And he says even more. He says, Aloch is that if a wagon has an ox and a donkey tied to it,
yes,
you can't even sit on it.
Wasn't one of the King David a product of some form of prostitution?
No.
Who was a product of prostitution?
Yehud and Tamar.
Tamar. Yeah.
But you're talking about the David, it was a misconception from his father. His father thought he was a mamzer, but he wasn't. That's the mistake that his father made. Okay, so therefore this din is, you can't plow. So again, if you see that one of the reasons for that is, because the Torah is kind to animals. You're not to do anything torturous to animals. By the way, it's torturing an animal, it's an argument in the Gemara, if it's biblical or rabbinic, the halacha is, it's biblical. The law is torturing animals, putting a heavy load on an animal that's, you know, burdensome on the animal, or any type of pain to an animal is biblically forbidden.
Moses was chosen because he ran after a sheep.
Rabbi, this is general rules?
What?
No, general rules. You cannot do two different animals together? Or
right.
Just ox
if
and
they're
dog.
Tied together.
Yeah, you can.
As Rashi says, the reason why the Mishnah, the Pasuk says ox and donkey, because that was the common thing in those days. It said, the expression, Dibra Kosev Behove. Dora speaks with the usual form of things.
So it's only if the animal doesn't experience any pain that they can do tests to make sure that if whatever they want to do for the human being in a medical way would be authorized. Or
contrary,
how does that work?
Contrary to PETA and all the other, I'll tell you what the halacha says. Contrary to public opinion, everything in the world was created to serve people.
Yeah.
Right. Contrary to public opinion, everything was created to serve the dogs. But everything in the world, Torah says, "Ani nevresi l'shamishes kaini, ani l'shamishes adam." Okay, animals were created. Everything in the world was created for the benefit of humans. So therefore, you are allowed to do testing on animals, even if it's painful on the animal, providing you're not abusing the animal in things which are not necessary. That you're not allowed to do. In other words, if you're, even though you're torturing the animal, let's say, but you're doing it for the sake of finding a cure for,
like mouse.
For whatever, for humans, then you're allowed to. To torture an animal for entertainment, to torture an animal for no reason, just to make extra tests for the fun of it on the animals. You know, according to the Torah, bullfighting is forbidden, rodeos is forbidden, Horse racing might even be forbidden also, depending if the animals are, whatever it may be. Anything that tortures an animal is forbidden, unless if it's for the purpose of serving a person. So even though it sometimes it would torture the animal, but again, if it's for the sake of, by the way, all the medicine that we have today that saves our lives, we're all tested on animals. It wasn't that they just started with people. Right? So because of that, millions and millions and millions of people are alive. And then, according to Kabbalah and Hasidus and all that, if the animal was instrumental in saving lives of people, that animal became elevated to a greater level than the animal would have been if it didn't do that. Instead, because now, the animal, so to speak, let's say, saved a human life in the long term, right? The animal saved a human life. So that animal that was tested actually became, I wouldn't say it's elevated to human state, but to a certain extent, it becomes elevated to a much greater level than just being, no, thank you, not just being an animal, because it was used for the sake of human, and it taka helped humans.
So specifically, Rabbi, when they were planning to send a man to the out of orbit,
yeah,
they were doing tests on the animals,
right,
to see how much they can handle the G or the forces and so on. That specific one, is that considered
animal cruelty?
It becomes complicated in a way. It's for the future of human being that whatever.
But no, officially they'll tell you it is for the future. If you ask why they're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars on this stuff, who cares what's going on Mars or Jupiter or Venus or whatever, you know. But the bottom line is, they say it's beneficial to learn of entry for medical purposes, for warfare purposes, whatever it may be. So then, yeah, it is becoming elevated. I'll give you an example. We spoke about this many times. If a person doesn't eat meat, because they feel it's cruel to animals to eat meat, that is not a Torah approach. Because, on the contrary, when you eat meat, and the meat becomes part of our blood and flesh, which it does, when we eat food, it becomes the blood and flesh of the human, it's actually elevated from animal to human. So you're doing the animal a favor. Not only you're not cruel, again, abusing an animal, torturing an animal, halachically we learned in the Shema, if you have an animal to feed, you have to feed it before you feed yourself. Right? That's what the Torah says. But that's for the animal itself. But if the animal is being used for human purposes, then you're elevating the animal. And that's the whole idea of sacrifices. Can you imagine if Peter would be there in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there would be protesting all around the world, about the Korbanos and sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is, that sacrifice elevated all the animals in the world. And that bird that was sacrificed elevated all the birds in the world. So it depends how it's being used. I'll give you an example. Are you allowed to hurt a person? No, you can't hurt a person, right? Okay. But when you give a shot to a person, or a person has surgery, yes, you're hurting the person. But if it's for their benefit, then you're allowed to do it. And not only are you allowed to do it, you have to do it. If a guy says, let's say doctors say a person needs surgery. And the guy says, no, I'm not doing it. According to you, force the guy to do it. If it's possible, whatever. Because that's what you have to do. Okay, next. Lesilba shatneis. You're not allowed to wear wool and linen together in the same garment. Tzemer opishtim yachtov. Wool and linen together. Now, over here, there's a whole interesting argument in the Rishonim between Rambam and other people. According to many authorities, shatnez is only when it's woven together. In other words, what happens, let's say you have a jacket, and part of the jacket sewn onto it is linen. Right? So according to many authorities, that's not biblically forbidden, only rabbinically forbidden. Some people hold that wool and linen together is only when it's woven together, because it says Leisilba shatneis, you can't wear betzemer upishtim yachtov. And Rashi says, shatneis, what does shatneis mean? Eat of mixed together. Shua tova v'noiz. It's actually interwoven with each other. But many codify, everybody says it's forbidden. The question is it biblically forbidden or rabbinically forbidden? If it's not actually woven into each other, it's only like sewn. Like many times shatnez, the collars, you know, when you check your garment, the collars have shatnez because the suit is wool and the collar has linen in it. So even though it's not woven in the material, but you still can't. And by the way, this shatnez is, it refers to a lot of different things. For instance, you can't, let's say there's a blanket made out of wool and linen. You can't sleep on it or cover yourself with it because that's called wearing it. There was a time years ago, there was one of the baseball mitts. You know, baseball gloves? You know, you guys play soccer, but baseball gloves. They found out one of the baseball gloves had shatnez in it. A big tumult in the frum world. All the frum kids play baseball. So it was a whole tumult that you can't use those certain gloves, and then they fixed it, and they took out the shot, or whatever. But in fact, there were many great chassidim years ago in Russia. The carriages, the seats, were made out of shatnez. And many great tzaddikim would not sit. They would bring their own little box in the wagon, not to sit on the chair, because the chair has shatnez in it.
About Keter also?
No, it's only where... What? Because the fact that it warms you, no, that's sitting on it. It's you're wearing it.
What about the cap, Rabbi? That on the outside is a wool, and the inner lining
is linen.
That's
shatnez. If it's linen,
right?
Not talking about different material, wool and linen.
Katan is not important. But you said that it needs to be interwoven.
No, I said. That's, some people say that's the only time it's biblical. But the other time it's for sure rabbinically forbidden anyway. And other people say even if it's just sewn in,
it's still.
In other words, you could wear, let's say, a jacket out of wool and a linen shirt. That you could wear. It's two different garments. But if you pin them together or sew them together, then it's forbidden. According to certain people, biblically forbidden. According to other opinions, rabbinically forbidden.
But one of them breathes and the other one keeps you warm. And one
there's
one
a lot of reasons.
Cool.
It's a very interesting reason.
Very interesting.
What's the
reason? No, but I'll tell you, there's a reason why.
What's the reason?
Huh?
What's the reason?
And keeps you cool.
Okay.
You're not supposed to be
some reason it says like this.
Time.
Why? Again, you know what's interesting? When the Rambam mentions this mitzvah about shatnez, the Rambam says you're not allowed to wear it because that's what the idolatry priests would wear.
Yeah.
That's what the Rambam writes. Yeah. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam writes, why did the Torah forbid wool and linen together? Because that's what the priests of the idol worshippers would wear. Wool and linen together. So the Torah says, don't be like that. But there's a few reasons. Number one, it says like this. The pareches, the curtain between the Holy of Holies and the Holies, was made out of wool and linen together. And God said, I don't want any replicas of that. You know, like you're not allowed to make replicas, exact replicas of the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash. You can't make a candelabra with seven branches because that's what the menorah was. So some people say the reason why God forbid shatnez was because it's a replica of the temple. That's one reason. Another thing it says like this, and this is a very cute reason. The first murder in the Torah came about because of wool and linen. Cain and Hevel, it says Cain brought a sacrifice, Hevel brought a sacrifice. God listened to Hevel's, not to Cain's. Cain got jealous and he killed him. Okay. Now, what did they bring as a gift? So it says in the Chumash, Hevel brought shearings of wool, and Cain brought cheap linen, flax linen. And that was cheap, so God said, okay. The other Hevels was a nice, decent carbon. God said, this is good. Good donation, I like it. The other one was cheap, he said, forget it. So he says, in that's Kim Baltev, but this brought down many, many different places. He says, because the first murder came about because of wool and linen together, Hashem says, I don't want a mixture in the same garment of wool and linen. It brought back
bad memories,
yes, so to speak. Now, some of Farshim say, you see who says this one, that Shatnez itself is, if you play with the letters, it's Satan Az. Take the word Shatnez. It's spelled Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin. So you have the word Satan, and Ayin, Zayin is Az, strong. So it says, when you have wool and linen together, that gives strength to the evil. Because again, like we said before, that's what the priests used to wear and all that. So some Mefarshim say even the word Shatnez itself is two words, Satan, Az, which means it's actually the strength of the idol worshipping.
In Persian, it's called Satan, actually.
What?
Satan.
Okay. It says, if you wear Shatnez, you got, the Zohar says, you get this Ruach Ra, this impure spirit upon yourself. And that was Cain and Hevel, and the mixture of them wasn't good, and therefore, one killed the next. And that brought the first death into the world, so God said, you know what, stay away from it. Okay, it's another interesting thing. One of the garments of the Cain was the avnet, the belt. Mm. The belt, if you look in the Chumash, was made out of Shatnez. It was actually woolen linen in the belt that the Kohen wore. But over there it's allowed because God said so. God said you can't kill animals and you can't kill them, but in the Beis HaMikdash they sacrificed in Shabbos. You know, the obligatory, mandatory karbanos. So God said, this is it. But therefore, there was a din like this. If a kohen wasn't working, and he wanted to take in Yiddish they call chapa dremel, he wanted to take a cat nap. You know, he wanted to lay down a little bit. He was not allowed to fold the belt and put it as a pillow, because then he's wearing shatnez, and he's not working. It's only allowed when you're working the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, you're not allowed to wear shatnez. You're not allowed to wear woolen linen together. So he couldn't even use like a pillow or anything else to use. Now, the sin of shatnez, by the way, you can have a garment of woolen linen. The Torah says you can't wear it. Now, if I want to hang it up on the wall. Tapestry with woolen linen together.
Carpet.
Not a problem. Yeah, but the problem with the carpet, if you lay down on it.
If you walk, is it okay?
Walking, he's not wearing it. Yeah, walk on it. I mean, it's laying on it. That would be a problem because then you're wearing it, actually.
So, I was thinking of Wadi Mechabi.
Hello?
I said, watch it. When you used to sleep on the carpet, you know?
It depends. The carpets don't necessarily have woolen linen. I'm just saying if it does, then there's an issue with it.
Well, just white stuff. Okay.
By synthetic. No, but then the sin is on the Torah says silver shatnez. The Torah doesn't say don't make shatnez. You can make it. You can't cook meat and milk together. You can't eat meat and milk. You can't benefit from meat and milk together. What?
No, she says that most of the carpets they make it from silk and wool.
But silk is not linen.
Yes.
Yeah, then it's okay. I'm saying.
You can lay on the carpet.
If it's silk and linen and wool, you can lay on it. I'm saying, no, people, again, it's not, then they keep coming up with new things. They find out that this has shatnez, this has shatnez. Generally speaking, cheaper suits don't have shatnez, generally speaking. But very, very expensive suits, many of them have shatnez in them. In the collars or in the... I'll give you an example. If you have a wool suit and you need to sew in a button and the only thread you have is linen thread. Right? You can't sew in a button. Because then in the same garment, it's definitely rabbinically forbidden. According to other people, even biblically forbidden. But then in the same garment, sewn together is linen and wool.
How do you distinguish when you look at the thread, whether it's a wool or...
That's why they have what's called the checking, the shatnez checking lab. They first of all, they have certain certain solutions. They put a drop on it. They can see right away to turn certain colors. It's this and that. Sometimes they can tell, but they can feel. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, these are experts.
They're experts.
If they burn it, they can.
Burn it. That's a burn. It's smell.
Yeah, but you're not going to burn your jacket when they text it. No, but they have to. They have ways of checking it.
10 minutes, 5 minutes.
Huh?
In 10 minutes, they check it for you.
Well, 10 minutes a rush job. You come back in a few days, but.
They tell you come back in a few days so they can charge.
Yeah. Okay, next. G'dilim tasa loch. The Torah says you should make yourself twisted threads. This is the mitzvah of tzitzis, by the way. Al-aba kafes chsuzcho on the four corners of the garments. Asher tasa the chasaba that you can cover yourself with. Now, the Gemara says, and this is not done today, by the way, if somebody has wool and linen tzitzis, technically it's allowed. Because the Torah, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Gemara learns it out. Afmina, climb, the Gemara says in Yevamis, the fact that the Torah puts the mitzvah of shatnis near the mitzvah of tzitzis, or rather the mitzvah of tzitzis near the mitzvah of shatnis, teaches us that tzitzis could also have shatnis in it. Today it's not done, and I'll explain why in a second. There's a lot of issues over here. First, let's discuss the mitzvah itself. Okay? The Torah says you need to wear tzitzis. And the Torah says if it's your garment. Okay? Now, the Torah says a four-cornered garment needs to have tzitzis on the four corners. That's if they're not rounded. If they're rounded corners, they don't need. But if you have a four-cornered garment, you need to have tzitzis. What happens if you have a five-cornered garment, six-cornered garment? You could only put tzitzis on four corners. In fact, if you put five tzitzis on the garment,
no,
you get a sin of adding to mitzvahs. No, you're adding to mitzvahs, which is biblically forbidden. So the Torah says you only need four tzitzis, no matter how. But you need four corners. Now. The mitzvah, by the way, the mitzvah, since I just explained this, we learned it in Shlach, that was a few years ago, I think. Yeah, about a few years ago. At the speed we go. Tzitzis, there's no obligation. It says, on the garment you wear. Okay, which means as follows. The mitzvah of tzitzis is, if you have a four-cornered garment, you need to wear tzitzis. If I don't have a four-cornered garment, I don't have a mitzvah of tzitzis. Like we said, there are many mitzvahs, like shechita, slaughtering an animal is a mitzvah, yeah? If I want to eat meat, I have to slaughter the animal. If I don't want to eat meat, there's no mitzvah, I have to slaughter meat, right? Tefillin, I have to wear. Torah says, not if I have a pair of tefillin, you wear it. Torah says, no, you have to put on tefillin every day, a man. Right? Yep. Shabbos candles, not, okay, if I have candles, no, you have to light Shabbos candles, whatever the mitzvahs are. Certain mitzvahs are optional. For instance, like we just learned, if I don't have a house, or I don't have a roof, I don't have any debt, do I have to make a fence? No, I'm not obligated to buy a house
to make a fence.
I'm not obligated to buy a house to put up a mezuzah. The Torah says, you have a house, you have to put up a mezuzah. If I don't have a house, I don't have a mezuzah.
Now, does this fence on top of the house have to go all around?
It has to go all the way around, and it has to be 10, it has to be like 35 inches high. It has to be, that's a practical thing that nobody should fall off. There's a halachas.
Fence around your roof?
No, it's only a roof that people go on. It's not a...
No, nowadays, no, they don't need
it. I just built a rooftop deck, and so I put...
Yes, so then halachically you would need this mitzvah, Mike.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, now, so... There's no mitzvah in the Torah, I have to wear tzitzis. The Torah says, if you have a four-cornered garment, then you need to wear tzitzis. But nevertheless, the Talmud says, the Gemara says, because tzitzis reminds us of all mitzvahs of the Torah, it's proper and appropriate, and a person should go out of their way and make sure they wear tzitzis. Why? Because it's a mitzvah that they're doing, And it's reminding them of God because the tzitzis equals 613, whatever. The word tzitzis itself equals 600. And then there's 8 strings and 5 knots. So 613, it reminds us of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. But tzitzis itself is not a mitzvah that you're obligated to buy for an according garment. There's a very interesting argument in the Gemara. Is it on the garment or is it on the person? In other words, what happens if I have a four-cornered garment but I don't wear it? Do I need to put tzitzis on it or not?
So what's the purpose of having the garment if you don't wear it?
Well, the pasuk over here says, you have a garment of four corners, mm-hmm. put on tzitzis. One opinion the Gemara says, that's not the halacha, but one opinion the Gemara says, you have a four-cornered garment, you own it, you need to have tzitzis, whether you're going to wear it or not. The halacha is, no, that if you wear it, you need tzitzis. If you don't wear it, you don't need tzitzis. Okay? Now, we also learned, and this is where today I'll explain to you why we don't have shatnas and tzitzis. A knight, the Torah says, by tzitzis, in Parashat Shlach and Shema, we say, or the isem eisei. You have to see it. So the Gemara says, night is not the time of tzitzis. There's no obligation to wear tzitzis at night. But there's many, many opinions in the codifiers that argue about this point. What does the Gemara mean? One opinion says, nighttime doesn't need tzitzis, daytime does need tzitzis, period. Very simple. Another opinion says, no. Day garment needs tzitzis even at night, and a night garment doesn't need tzitzis even during the day. Understand, there's two opinions. We know night does not need tzitzis, day does need tzitzis. But does it mean night garment and night, I mean day garment, or does it mean daytime and nighttime? So according to those opinions, let's say that a day garment is obligated in tzitzis even at night.
Correct.
That's why people have a custom in the religious circles, you sleep with the tzitzis. It's at night. But you're wearing the tzitzis as a day garment. It's not a night garment, it's a day garment. According to those opinions, you get the mitzvah of tzitzis even at night. But for instance, I'll give you another example. A blanket. Based on what we just said about shatnez, if you cover yourself with a garment, it's shatnez, right? So now the question is like this. If I go to sleep at night or during the day, if I sleep during the day with a blanket, is four corners. So why don't they need tzitzis? So the halachic reason is because it's a blanket is for sleeping, which is supposed to be done primarily at night, so it's a night garment. And there are certain fanatics that actually will round off one corner of the blanket, that they wouldn't need tzitzis. But if you know, we wear Shabbos to kapotis, you know, so if you notice, it's actually four corners, because the split in the back goes all the way up. But if you notice, if you don't notice, but the inner part is rounded. It's actually rounded when they make the kapata, because otherwise it would taka need tzitzis. It would be a four-cornered garment that would need tzitzis. So because of that, they actually round it, so then you don't have four corners.
Can't you put tzitzis over? What if you're wearing a garment that has four corners, and you wear tzitzis on top of that?
No. The tzitzis have to be on the garment. So therefore like this. So if you're going to wear a garment of tzitzis that has wool and linen together,
correct,
and you're going to be wearing it at night, when there is no mitzvah of tzitzis, then you're going to be getting a sin. So therefore today, you don't make wool tzitzis in a linen garment, or a linen tzitzis in a wool garment. It says in Allah, if you have a linen garment, let's say there's four corners, I mean they don't make them today, tzitzis white. You'd have to put linen tzitzis in it. And if you wear a wool garment, you have to put wool tzitzis in it. Because otherwise it would be shatnez. Okay, today's class is sponsored by Moshe Mataban in honor of Moshe Mataban's birthday.
Zayin Adar.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.